Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, scientist, mystic, and Jesuit priest who died in 1955, wrote, "We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience." Roll that around a little bit in your mind. Spiritual beings having a human experience. Teilhard de Chardin states a Christian mystical truth that we know in the deepest part of ourselves, but it is hard to hold on to it in the midst of the demands, the constraints, and temptations of human experience. We have been created in God's image, and God has promised that we can never be separated from God, that nothing can separate us, not death, not life. The imprint of God is upon us, upon every person. And for those of us who've been baptized, we have been marked with the cross and sealed by the Holy Spirit as Christ's own forever. Forever starts now, but sometimes I know that I think we feel very far from God, sometimes. The circumstances of life, sometimes our own choices, God's still there, but we can feel distant, kind of out of sorts, sort of oppressed, treated badly maybe we are by others at times, and we know, as we look around our world, many people are treated very badly. When I'm having a hard day, not like the worst day, not like how badly some people are treated, but when I'm going through something or dealing with a wound of the past and kind of working through it, there's something about this that really helps me. I wonder if it might help you. That I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. That we've been created for eternal life with God, that sometimes we feel that in this human plane, but sometimes we don't, and it feels not so great. We're disconnected from the core of who we are. It doesn't feel great, but that doesn't change your greatness. You are great. You have been created for God, to be united with God forever. And so being spiritual beings, having a human experience, created in God's image, meant for greatness, that we will know in its fullness one day, that everyone will know, how are we to live now, in the here and now, in this world? And how is the church to live in the world? What, as a faith community, is our focus? What ought to be our focus? In both our epistle reading from James and in today's gospel, we are given instruction. We have just a limited time on this earth when you look at the big picture. How are we going to spend it? How do we live in a way that proclaims what we believe about God, ourselves, and all God's children here in Richmond and everywhere? Well, it helps me when I'm feeling a little oppressed to remember who I really am, a spiritual being living this human reality. It helps me let go of things. We can let go of our fear. We can let go and live for God. And we do this. We do this. I know you do this often, but not always. And our church, the Episcopal Church, does it often, but not always. But we can. We can do those things that show forth the love of God in the world. We can say and do those things that build people up rather than tearing them down. We can hold up our human institutions, our creations of human will up to the light of God and see if they serve or still serve God or not. Let's listen again to the letter of James. "Every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. James is giving us the perspective of who we are in relation to both Jewish thought and Greek thought. And since this is who we are, important to God and the world, more important than we can even imagine, James is saying, stop messing about, right? He's saying this to the people of his time. Like all historic documents, this letter was written because certain things were happening on the ground in the time. The new followers of the way of Jesus were trying to work it all out as we continue to work it out. And sometimes they were off point, as we can be. So the letter reminds us, listen, spend time listening. Be slow to speak, slow to anger, and be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. Do not be merely hearers who forget, but doers who act. This sermon, and often when we hear be doers of the word, we are very focused on social justice, and we are here at Holy Comforter. But as I was thinking about this sermon this morning and putting on this stole, I also wanted to point out that when we're being doers of the word, which word is it, right? Which part of the gospel, which part of our faith tradition? There are many parts and there are many ways to do things. So this stole, you've never seen me wear it before, I just got it. It was sent to me as a gift from a deacon in New Mexico. I go to visit my family in New Mexico to Las Cruces, and there at a church, I become friends with people, and I became friends with a deacon named Barbara. And she is a doer of the word in that she hand-stitched this. She stitched all this by hand, and as she was stitching, she was praying. So this is her prayer practice, and that is one way that she is a doer of the word. Yesterday, we were all reminded of what doing looked like in one life of someone you have heard of, someone famous, John McCain, a national hero who inspired and helped many through his actions. And the service yesterday was inspiring. And I think, as some mentioned, helps us remember we're all in this together. Joe Lieberman, speaking of trips that he and John took abroad, said that people would chant. They would go to these places where people were being very oppressed, in lots of need, wars, not having enough food. They would chant John's name in welcome. Lieberman said, the name John McCain, based on the actions of the man, John McCain, had become a source of hope and inspiration for oppressed people throughout the world. Right? A doer of the word, and so his name is known. And we give thanks for him. We pray for his family. We give thanks for the way he served as a doer of the word. So this made me think also about the name of Jesus. And for many, Jesus right now is a source of hope, the name, a source of hope and inspiration, but not for everyone. So it makes me wonder, how can we be doers in the world so that the name of Jesus is a source of hope and inspiration? The letter of James continues, if any think they are religious but do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. I would say that when we know who we are, spiritual beings united with God and therefore with each other and all the people in the world forever, when we know this about our life, we view life as a chance to show forth God's love, and we automatically care. We do. It just comes. We care for others, orphans and widows. You know, Martin Luther, right, the great reformer of the 16th century, disliked the Epistle of James intensely. He didn't think it should be scripture because it focuses on doing, and of course the great Protestant Reformation, justification by faith alone. But the point is, they were really talking about different things. And when it is by faith that all is given to us by grace before we even have an understanding of faith, but we're just going to do these things. This flows from us. And in our time, it means caring for refugees and immigrants, children crossing our southwest borders and their parents. We care for those in need of food in our community, having our food drive today as we do every month. And so many of you, all of us, we care about these folks, and we care about veterans who need food. We care about the elderly who need our help. And we do. We care and then we do. So the Epistle of James was, of course, inspired by Jesus. The first followers of the way of Jesus knew that Jesus called people out, basically, for saying that they were religious, but doing and saying things that had nothing to do with God. Now, it was actually a very good idea to wash one's hands, right? We teach our children that. It's a good idea to wash hands and things we buy at the market and our pots and pans. And the Jewish people gave us this gift among many. They were some of the first people to really catch on to that. Jesus isn't upset about that. He's upset about people focusing on washing in a way that questions people's righteousness before God. And so he's calling those who judged others hypocrites. Quoting Isaiah, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain they worship me and teach human precepts as doctrines." And Jesus says, listen, it's not what goes into you, but what comes out is the problem. All those evil intentions, they are at the heart of the problem, and they are at their heart selfish. If you go back through that list that we read earlier, all of those things are very selfish, not loving, not caring for others. And all this, I hear the warning not to be inward focused. And when I think about the church, I realize that the church as an organized, institutionalized religion, we really have our downside. There's a downside to it. We're always fighting against getting too inwardly focused. It's easy to become focused on our traditions, on how we do things, to the exclusion of being open to what might be new and of God and of the Spirit. Now, we do have some really great traditions, right? We're the ones who brought you the royal wedding, right? Really great. And really wonderful state funerals that touch us all so much at the National Cathedral. That's the Episcopal National Cathedral. So some great traditions. And when we get into the Episcopal 101 class, I'll be teaching starting soon on Wednesdays at 6. A little ad there for that. We'll be talking about our traditions and how they help us in our faith journey. So they're good many times. But the church is not God. And we've made many mistakes and we've been short-sighted. Not so long ago, Episcopalians owned slaves. Very recently, people of color have not been treated well. Very recently, women could not have leadership in the church, either lay or ordained. And as recently as 2003, attitudes about our first openly gay bishop rocked the church and many walked away. Why do I mention this? Because again and again, we see that the Spirit has said, wait, and changed our minds about our human precepts. And every time the faith community has opened up and become more loving and more inclusive every time. So the question is, how are we being called to be more loving and inclusive now, today? In both the letter of James and the gospel for today, we are warned about being so inwardly focused that we miss our chance to live for God, to live as God dreams we will. And this is to our joy and the benefit of all people. Amen.